Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center. So it was hair wash day. We appreciate the va-va-voom.
Oh, yes. I love it. I was going to wash my hair yesterday, but we have family photos tonight. So I want it to be like a little bit greasy. So the plan is to curl it. I don't think I'm going to have time. So yeah. I just like have like some slicked back hair, but I don't know. Maybe this
How often do you wash your hair?
Like once every 12 to 14 days.
Does it have like a decent amount of like fallout and shit when you like?
No, because I brush my hair every morning. So before when I used to like never brush my hair, which was like sounds disgusting, but like my hair never used to get knots ever.
Yeah.
And since being postpartum, my hair gets matted. It's really disgusting. Yeah, it's like full on like matted knots. I don't know if it's like
no
the way that
shit.
It's like my hair's really like kind of like brittle for my normal liking. But I think it's just like I don't know if I'm just like depleted and, you know, like nutrients because I'm breastfeeding and that's where it's all going versus
Maybe.
like my own hair, or my thyroid is off again. So, but we're getting that checked in a couple weeks here. So, which is like so annoying to me because I usually just go and do it myself, but like, I'm like, all right, I might as well just like go through my doctor and like not have to pay for it. But like her earliest appointment was like in 3 weeks. And I'm like, I hate that because usually I just go to like the LabCorp, I buy it on, you know, whatever. And then the next morning I do it and it's there in 2 days. So I'm like waiting 3 weeks sucks. But anyways, so I didn't normally have like a lot of like fallout. Well, before I did, because I like never brush my hair, but now like I had to brush my hair like two or three times a day. Otherwise it gets like really matted. So I think a lot of my fallout happens then. So then in the shower, it's really not bad. But before, dude, like it would be like clumps. And I was like, how do I still have hair on my head? But I had like, it's just like all that natural shedding was just like stuck in there.
Yeah. I always get super paranoid whenever it's hair wash day. And like, I always like keep tabs on like how much hair I lose, like when throughout the week, cause I brush my hair multiple times a day as well. And I don't know, I'm always like having Eric do a hair check because like, it's honestly not that much in the grand scheme of things with it being long. Obviously, like when you like wad it up because the hair is longer, it's going to look like it has more mass to it. But he's like, no, your hair looks super healthy. And even like my girl that does my hair, she's like, I'm always so jealous of like how healthy your hair has been and like how quickly it grows and its strength and stuff like that. And I was like, yo, I'm telling you, beauty, it formerly Derm from Morbigen, I'm telling you, that shit has helped my hair.
Inspire. You have extensions too, yes.
For thickness, yeah. So my hair is like more on the neck naturally thinner side, but the length, natural.
You don't even get any length added in there yet. I mean, you're pretty long.
Just
Like,
some volume.
I think like the longest extensions you can get to are like maybe 32. And I think they're rare. And like your hair is probably like 24s, you wouldn't even be able to see in yours, to be honest with you. So, but that's cool. That's cool. But yeah, it's always like scary when your hair falls out and you're like, fuck. And then like in prep when your hair falls out too, and you're like, am I going to have any by fucking show day? Like, help me.
Am I going to need a wig on stage?
Literally. So who did that? Someone, some pro, I can't remember. She ended up doing that. And then she's like, I hated it. Yeah. She got a wig. I don't know if it was like for like fullness, volume and like length or whatever. She thought that that would just
but a
be
wig.
An actual wig, yeah. Oh my god, I'm gonna see. Oh, I don't remember who. Give me a day or two to figure it out. But yeah,
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, I would be so sweaty. Not a fan. Not a fan. How was your week though? This past week, anything exciting? Anything new? Anything going on?
Nothing like super positive. Like my training is difficult and I'm not really enjoying it just because it's a lot of like single leg work and I'm trying to like work through like hip mobility and imbalances and stuff like that. The same old song and dance, but it's one of those things where Eric and I were talking and I was obviously like bitching to him and he's like, he gave a really good, like, I don't know what you want to call it, like pep talk or good speech, good motivational speech where he was like, you have chosen difficult things. He's like, you've chosen a sport that requires you to be on practically constantly. He said, you have chosen entrepreneurship and coaching, which he's like, you're going to have weeks and months with no inquiries, and you're going to have drop-offs and people that like don't want your service anymore. Not that you are a bad coach, but people just don't want to be coached. And he's like, because you've chosen the hard things, you need to understand that hard things can sometimes be difficult, but there are things that are hard that are necessary for growth versus things that are difficult, that are painful, that are unnecessary. So he was equating it to pain. And he's like, think of the good pain. Like he's like, think about being buried under a leg press. Like after like, you know, your last set, you leave your soul on the leg press. That's a good pain. Like in the moment, yeah, it hurts or whatever, but it's still a good pain. It's the whole reason why you train. Versus unnecessary pain when it comes to your perception of your stress. He's like, you agonizing over the fact that you don't feel good enough when it comes to your training due to imbalances and activation issues. He's like, the unnecessary pain that you cause yourself when you feel like you are an inadequate coach, that you don't bring enough to the table, that, you know, all of these things that like I tell myself that are inherently not true, but still just due to the unreasonable expectation I have on myself when it comes to success and how I define success, it's still a daily struggle. But he just brought up a good point about like good pain versus bad pain and how to differentiate between those two, because good pain is what is needed to become stronger and for you to grow. Bad pain is essentially useless. You're just wasting energy at that point.
Oh, it's such a waste. Yeah.
Yeah. So shout out to Fitness Husband on that one.
Yeah, Eric, I was just thinking Eric does have like a lot of good advice and sayings, I should say.
My other friend calls him Fitness Buddha.
It's appropriate. I like that. I mean,
Know.
it's right. He's like definitely like the calm in the storm, you know?
Oh yeah, he balances me very, very well because I am someone that's been known to white knuckle things, just like brute force it. And he's like, you know, over there, you know, if he doesn't have to do it, he won't do it. So we definitely balance each other out very, very nicely. Cause like I said, like I will just fucking fight my way through it and he'll just be like not even wanting to do it. But that's how it works.
And like you said, like we have to, I feel like that good pain, obviously what you like you mentioned is like we have to go through that, right, in order to be successful. And sometimes like people don't enjoy that good pain, or they find it being too difficult, or like it's, I mean, it's obviously it's uncomfortable. Like we're saying it's good, but like at the same time, it's like it's hard to get there. Like, you know, you're buried under a leg press. Like it's hard to exert that much energy to tell yourself to keep going for 3 to 4 more reps or adding 10 more pounds on the back of the rack there. It's like, yeah, it's hard to get to that point because, like, how much easier is it to just be like, that's good enough. I'm okay. I did enough. And me and you were kind of texting about this today because we were talking about like inquiries and how it's summer and how I just feel like a lot of people that I know are kind of stepping away from bodybuilding or kind of backing out. And I don't know if there's, you know, a rhyme or reason. One thing I did notice is a lot of people are having babies, which is a good reason to take a step back. But also, a lot of people I think are just like, I don't know if that's for me. And I'm a curious person. So I'm like, why? Why do you think it's not for you? And this is what we were texting about. It's like, because it's difficult. I think there's a lot of misconception around the sport and the amount of time and dedication that it takes. And it goes back to what Eric said, when it's like you chose a sport where you always have to be on, because your daily tasks or your daily checkboxes or like your everything that you do in your day requires you to align with that goal. Versus, you know, if you're playing a sport, so to speak, it's like, okay, well, fall is for football. Like, you know, we have a couple months off in the spring and then we start training in the summer for fall, right? You know, it's like this is 365. And I think either one, a lot of people only think it's like, oh, this is a 16-week diet. I'm gonna get on stage. And sure, that's fine. If that's your goal to do it as like a bucket list, that's great, whatever. Like, but like if you want to be successful in this sport and you want to do well, you have to just, unfortunately, it's kind of like an all or nothing. And I know we talk about getting away from that, but like It's not a sport where you can be like, okay, well, Wednesday, I just don't feel like doing my steps. I don't feel like doing my cardio. I'm actually not going to follow my macros, but I still want to do that show in 8 weeks. So it's okay. It's just one day, right? And I think people start to realize that it's like, oh, I can't have those days if I want to be successful. And not only that, if I want to feel good about it, because you can show up on show day and sure, you can look great. You can win first place, but in the back of your mind, are you going to be happy with yourself knowing that you goofed up on certain days? I know I wouldn't. I'd be like, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve to
I'll be
win because there
pissed.
are, well, yeah, I think I would feel more shitty about myself if there were days that I messed up on purpose, like willingly, just like wanted to quit, won first place over someone in second place who was like, I didn't cheat. Every single day was 100%. I did everything. And it's like, I mean, granted, you get rewarded on how you look. That's the part.
Yeah.
It's not about effort or where you came from or how big your transformation was. But like in the back of my mind, I think I'd be upset with myself knowing that I didn't give it my all and how much better I could have been.
Yeah, how much better you could have looked for sure. Yeah, I mean, bodybuilding is one of those things where, like, you do have to be at a certain percent on it every single day because, like, muscle building is so fucking slow. Like, I know when it comes to, like, relatively, like, everyone talks about how, like, fat loss is hard or staying the same is hard or gaining weight's hard. Like, okay, well, if we just say everything's hard, then nothing's hard, right? But if you look at the time frame between wanting to shred fat versus wanting to gain muscle is so much fucking harder, right? Because we're not looking at photos week to week. Like if you're enhanced, maybe every couple of weeks. If you're natural, maybe month to month, maybe month to month three, especially if you're also a female. Like also thinking about training age, that's another thing. And making sure that everything is systematized to where you're checking off your boxes and everything is held at a constant variable. And the reason why that's so important is because then when your coaches change one or two things, like you're invoking a response. And so the coach needs to be able to see that response and see that change in your physique or in your biofeedback if you're like in health phase or whatever. So it's one of those things where if you're constantly fucking up or not checking off your boxes or being consistent, checking off all the boxes, the outcome is not going to be where it needs to be. And like I said, in fat loss, you can kind of get away with a little bit more because you are able to pretty much see like week to week or maybe like every other week changes depending upon how quickly you go. But when you're in your off season, in your growth phases, like it is so fucking painfully slow. And that's why you have to be patient and you have to show up every single day. It's not that you have to be 100%. Again, it's not all or nothing that you have to be perfect. But you have to be in the sport to be in the sport and have your noggin screwed on.
I mean, yeah, and like, I don't know, I get satisfaction out of, doing what's asked of me, like checking those boxes versus like, yeah, like things are slow, but I could goof off here and there and still try my best, quote unquote, but it's really not. And I think that's why a lot of people are leaving the sport because we've talked about this before, but like mediocre isn't going to cut it. Like the competition now is like getting really, really intense. We've talked about certain shows that are like kind of shitty, but also too, like if you look at the national stage, like all top 10 girls look elite. Pros look insane. I don't know if you saw the Indie Pro, but Jodi Yonker finally won a pro show. So good for her. I think this is her best look. But if you look at her history, I think she's competed in like 19 or 20 something pro shows and she never came first, right? Like she had a lot of work to do, time away from the stage, things like that to build a better physique. But she was a pro for so long and spent a lot of time trying to gather this first place and she's finally got it, but it didn't happen overnight. Sure, there's some people that turn around and win their first pro show, but the probability of that is highly unlikely, right? So, she's someone who didn't quit. Like she wanted this and she kept going back to the drawing board, kept showing up. And it's not that easy. It's hard. It's that difficult pain. It's that fun pain. It's worth it because she won her first pro show. That's what she fucking wanted to do. But every single day for the, like she had a huge off season, like one of the longer ones that she's ever took. She was someone who never really had long off seasons, but she needed to do that. And look, she came back and she won. This was her second pro show this season. Her last one she took second, this one she took first. So moving up the ranks. I mean, and that's fantastic. It just goes to show that like she took that time away, but that time away from the stage and prep wasn't wasted. It was doing the hard things. It was sitting there waiting to be patient. Sure, she loves competing. She loves getting all glammed up. She likes showing off her hard work, but her hard work wasn't enough to get her to her goals and to get her to be successful and achieve what she wanted to achieve. Now, she could have just been like, well, yeah, I'm fine. I'm great with just showing up and winning third place, fourth place, fifth place all the time. I'm just going to keep competing. This is great. Whatever. I'm just going to settle for that mediocre. But no, she wanted more for herself. And that's what we're trying to get across here is like, you have to do like the hard things, the things that suck. And I can guarantee you in that whole year of an off season, like if you look at her Instagram, like she was still training. She was still showing up. She was still hitting her macros. You know, she wasn't goofing off. She didn't go on these, you know, month long vacations. She wasn't, you know, drinking and like being in like a huge bulk. Like she didn't gain a bunch of body fat. Like it was well structured, right? And she aligned everything that she did in that off year to or off season for that year to come back and fucking win. And I think that's why, like I said, a lot of people are leaving because they don't want to take the time to do that. And also too, I think it's really hard for people to take that feedback and be like, oh, well, like I tried really hard during this prep and I didn't win, and the judges say I'm not lean enough or I don't have good conditioning or muscle density, muscle maturity. And it's like a lot, some people get pissed about that. And then they're just like, well, I guess this isn't for me. Or, you know, like I did my best and my best is only ever going to be second place. It's like, why don't you take that feedback and like work towards it and make a plan and
Well, they're
figure
not
out.
an athlete. They're a clout chaser. That's why. Like, they're not in bodybuilding for the right reasons. They're doing it because they want the likes. They want the sponsorships. They want the medals. They want, you know, the cash if it's if they're like a professional league or whatever. They want the external reward, not understanding the big reward in bodybuilding is that intrinsic reward. The fact that you set out something that you wanted to accomplish and you followed through and you chose the hard path. You chose the good pain.
I think follow through is really hard for people.
Oh, it's for sure.
Like across the board, not even in bodybuilding, like we have like a huge issue with like follow through. And I'm sure you see it like, oh, this is like another good thing, like just to mention, like with people that want to quit coaching or, you know, they fall off, they don't want those services anymore. It's because sometimes like their follow through just isn't there. They're just like, man, because hiring a coach just isn't enough, right? And I guess like I don't know if like as a society we've just made it too easy to like quit at things and it's like okay it's fine like it's like that participation award like
Oh, for sure.
you get like the green ribbon. Ours were green when I was growing up for like field day in elementary school. It's like everyone got a green ribbon and then they
Yeah,
all
I feel like I something where it was like everyone got a participation trophy, but it's like for bodybuilding, like you show up for whoever looks best, right? So it's like you're not gonna get a participation trophy if you show up not in shape or not like according to the division criteria. Like that's not how this works. And because it is such an individual, personalized sport, like people don't want to assume ownership over their shortcomings and they want to point fingers. Oh, it was judging politics, or it was my coach's fault, or, you know, it was a bad venue. Like, I mean, you could come out way with any excuse under the bus, right? But at the end of the day, you, the person, you, the athlete, weren't good enough. And for some people, that's crippling because they can't handle the feedback. They can't handle constructive criticism, whether kind or, you know, maybe unkind or very blunt and to the point, and it cripples them. And then they point fingers, they have a tantrum, and they quit. When you are an athlete of the sport, constructive criticism doesn't always feel good. Absolutely. Like, there's no doubt about that, that like someone giving you feedback as to like why you are still not good enough can be very personal. Not that it's a quote-unquote attack, but it can still not feel good. But if you take it with humility and you understand that the feedback is meant to bring you better, if you can run with it and go, that is how you're going to succeed long term in bodybuilding. And correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not really well rehearsed with exactly who Jody is, but I'm sure that's exactly what she did, considering rather than continuing to compete, 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 get third, fourth, whatever, she took the offseason that she needed to put on muscle mass, to bring a more competitive physique, got second place, competed again, won it.
few things. Good example of Jodi is Jodi did all of those shows and got to the Olympia by qualifying up points, which they don't do anymore. Remember, if you won or if you got like second place, third place, you got so many points. And at the end of the year, the top three people would be able to go to the Olympia based on points, not on actually winning the show. So now she won her show, and I'm sure this Olympia for her will be a lot sweeter because it's like, yeah, she earned it through all those points, but this is because she actually won a pro show, right? Tidbit on that second. I think a lot of people, they get butt hurt. This is how you can tell someone, one, they're mature, two, they've done self-healing, is because if you give someone like constructive criticism, like feedback, and if they get all butt hurt about it, then like you can tell that there still is like some type of like psyche and trauma healing that needs to happen, and you're like stuck, and that's why like you can't get better. So like say you have a coach, and there's like it's like night and day, like for my coaching experience, like before, when Mark would say something, I would be like so upset. Like there were times where I like cried for whatever reason because I thought it was like attack on who I was, and it was like, no, it's just like I was taking it so internally because of like disappointment that I thought he was having because of me, because I wasn't doing good enough, blah, 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 blah. But like in reality, it was just to make me better. And like looking back at some of the things he said to me, like now I look at him, I'm like, dude, why were you even upset on that? Like it was like an educational like feedback for you. And you were like, oh my God, like this isn't a personal example, but like if you're training and you send a video to your coach and they're like, oh, dude, like this is programmed till, you know, 0-1 RIR and you're at like six. Like you're
This
not
was
really,
like a warm-up set.
yeah, it's like you're not really pushing yourself there. They could be like, oh my God, does my coach say I don't work hard enough? I thought that was really hard. While they think I'm lazy, like you could just go down this rabbit hole, or like your coach is like, no, I'm here. I'm like, I'm your cheerleader. I'm saying you can do more because you can, because I believe in you, right? Versus like turning it to like such a negative thing. And I really want to talk about like how, yeah, like that feedback, like we can quit and stuff, but let's talk about how hard bodybuilding actually is. I want to talk about like this sport. Like it is difficult. Like why is it difficult? Why do people quit? Why do people not follow through? One, I think the people that do follow through and the people that do enjoy it, there's something wrong with us. We're like sadists, like we're sadistic, like we just enjoy fucking pain and suffering, dude. But like it's honestly, it's so difficult. And a few things that come to mind, I'm sure you have some too. Like, I was talking about this with Ash today, being a new mom. Like, I feel like the most difficult thing for me right now is fucking time. It is a time-consuming sport. It is hard. It is hard to have a social life. It is hard to find time to get to the gym for your hour or so long workout or longer. Find that hour of cardio time, drive time back and forth, and then time to, you know, meal prep throughout the week. Time to check in with your coach. If you are deep into prep, you're doing it more than once a week. I have two girls in prep right now. Like they are checking in 2 to 3 times a week. When Frances was checking in with you, she was doing it throughout the day, multiple times a day. And it's like that is time consuming. In the middle of your day, you have to stop. You got to go put your suit, your heels on, get your camera ready, set it all up. And this is, I'm not saying this to complain because this is the reality of it, guys, but
No, it's
like,
not complaining. It's you're being real.
right. And it's, you know, it's like, oh man. And when you're that tired and deep in prep, it's just like another thing. And you're just like, oh my fucking God, I got to change my clothes again. I got to fucking put on my suit. And you know, even if you're traveling, like you've seen a lot of bodybuilders, I'm sure, post in like gas station, rest stop area, check-in, parking lot, check-in photos. Like when the coach wants to see what you look like after a certain time, after a certain meal, after so much water, like you get down and you fucking do it because this is what you want to do, right? This is your goal that you set out. But I think, you know, time is a huge one. It's a big stressor for me. And I think a lot of people don't understand the reality of like how much time it actually takes. Because not only are you working out, meal prepping, eating your meals, cardio, you got to find time to, you know, add in steps, go on a daily walk, and then your job, if you work, you know, Monday through Friday. I remember when I was working, you know, at the nursing, at my nursing job, it was my shift alone was 12 hours. It was 35-minute drive there, 35-minute drive back, an hour long of cardio. Still had to shower, still had to like take care of my dogs, get steps in. So, those days are long, and I think that's really crippling for people, and I think it's really difficult. So, like I would say the biggest one that I find to be the hardest is time. And then obviously I would say for me personally is like I want to say it because I would say like I don't want to say like social because I'm not like a big social person. Like I don't really go out and do a lot of things, but I would say like my interactions with people get less. It's harder for me to text back, to put energy into conversations, my relationship, just in general, like at the gym. Like I literally in prep, I sit in my car for like 2 minutes and waste time that I don't even have. And I'm just like, please, dear Lord. Nobody fucking talked to me in the gym. I don't even want to say hi to a single person because, like, that's just how drained I get. And I think that's really hard for me to put on like a front and be happy and excited and be around people to talk to people when I just don't have the energy for it. So, those are my top two things that make bodybuilding hard. And I feel like people struggle with that too, especially people who are like socialites because they don't have that energy. And then people who are used to going out all the time, one, like I said, you don't have the time or energy to do so. And two, you can't really participate in a lot of things because society as a whole has deemed food and drinking as how to hang out with your friends. And you're not going to want to do that when you're in prep. So it's like you feel very alone.
For me, I totally agree with the time aspect. The social one, I figured that out because I even, I post all the time whenever I have a car meal. Like, Eric wants to go on a date. I want to go on a date with Eric. I'll pack a meal. He goes to a place where it's less like table service and more just like you order food, they'll bring it to you. And that's kind of it.
Every week, does he not?
What?
Doesn't Eric get ice cream like every week on Sunday?
Yeah, pretty much. Because he really likes ice cream. And there's literally a place right by our house.
Just
But
so
even
funny.
then, like, I don't bring in my meal today. I just get a Diet Coke, right? So, like, for me, the social aspect is not that big of a deal because I have figured out what works in my life with like spending time with my loved ones. And it's just not something that is super stressful like it used to be. I think a big one is the fact of it coming down to you. And that also goes back to the level of follow through or lack thereof. Like, again, you have to be on your meals. You have to go to the gym. You have to stay accountable to your coach. You have to do your cardio, your steps, your supplementation, your lab work, like all of these things. Like, yes, you have your community and you have your coach, and maybe you're on a quote unquote team, but it's not like football where you have like a giant locker room and you guys are coming together, during halftime or maybe after the game and you guys lost and the coach is giving a pep talk or maybe he's like grilling you guys. Like, you don't have that same level of sportsmanship, teamwork when it comes to bodybuilding, because as much as like we may say we or like my coach and I are a great team, you're in that bikini on stage, you're in that banana hammock on stage. Like, yes, you do all of these things, work with all these coaches, but at the end of the day, the judges are judging you on the work that you did or did not do when it comes to your physique, posing, all of that stuff. And I think that level of awareness and ownership is too intimidating for most people to actually handle. Like, if something goes wrong, they want someone to blame. They don't want to assume ownership. And in bodybuilding, that's just not going to fly. It may fly maybe for a regional show, or if you're like in BFE, like Wisconsin, and there's like very little shows, like,
North
yeah,
Dakota.
maybe it'll fly, but it's not going to fly at the national level. And it sure as shit won't fly at the pro level. So I think that level of just like working on yourself is truly scary and it's super uncomfortable, right? Like, I spent the first like 5, 10 minutes like saying how I was in pain and how I was uncomfortable. And most people would be like, well, if you're uncomfortable, why don't you quit? And like, to me, that's not a fucking option because I'm an athlete. I don't quit when things get hard. I don't quit when things don't go my way. I rise up, I figure out a game plan, and I attack it.
Dude, does like quitting ever cross your mind though?
When I'm into throwing a temper tantrum, absolutely. I'll be like,
Okay.
what the fuck's the point? I want to quit. I hate this. And then like it passes and I'm like, well, here I am an hour later working on my mobility, sending stuff to my personal trainer, like I'm still doing the shit. So I have my temper tantrum, I'll shit my diaper like, your kid would, and then like I'll move on with my life.
Dude, every day I feel like that too. And it's like so funny because people are like, how are you just like, how do you just do it? And I was like, I am the biggest fucking complainer in my own mind. Like every day, like yesterday, it was like, I don't know, 5 o'clock or something. And I had like no steps. And I was like, I don't want to do this. Like for the first 5 minutes I was walking, I was like, this sucks. This is stupid. I could just stop walking right now. But like, I think I'm just so disciplined, or like, I know deep down inside that I really do want this. And at the end of the
Yeah.
day, when I do get all my steps, I feel better. Like, I don't think I would feel comfortable going to bed and not doing the best that I could when I was like, so say like, I don't know, say like something happened, big crisis, and I couldn't get my steps in. Okay, I have to go to bed knowing that I literally couldn't do them, right? But like yesterday, I was like, I'm so fucking tired. I'm exhausted. Mentally, I was spent from the weekend. My boyfriend worked 3 days in a row. I was home with our child all weekend by myself. And I just wanted to sit down. I just wanted to read my fucking book. I didn't want to move a muscle. And I'm like, oh my God, I have 3,000 steps. It's 5 p.m. And I was like, I could just not do them. I could not. It's so easy. I'm like, it was so easy for me to just to sit here. I could just sit here and not do them. But I got up and I did them because I know at the end of the day, like, these are getting me towards my goal. This is what I want to do. And even if sometimes I'm uncertain and about not like wanting my goal, but like how I'm going to get there, then I know that these steps are something that they're good for me, right? It's always been something that has benefited me. And I don't like being a fucking loser. So I needed to get up and do them. So it's just like, it's funny to me because like we have our little tantrums, but it's like, what do you do after that tantrum? Do you sit there and you're just like, okay, well, that was it. Like I'm done. Or are you like, okay, I'm glad I got all the emotional
I
release.
got that out of the way.
Yeah, literally. I'm like, okay, I'm done being fucking dramatic. I'll just go and fucking do it. And that makes me happy and proud of myself. It's like, well, in a way, like I hate that I even acted that way and like responded in like such like a, oh, this sucks, I'm annoyed, blah, blah, blah. But then when I get done with it, I'm like, wow, like every fiber in your body was like, just fucking quit, like with a megaphone in my fucking face. Quit, give up, sit on your ass. You can do it. Everybody else just fucking sits around, like blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wow, I overcame that because I literally felt my ass glued to the couch and didn't want to get up or didn't want to train. Like, I haven't wanted to train all fucking week, but I did all three of my fucking sessions. Were they the best? No, but I fucking did them, right? And I feel really rewarded when it's like that. And I try and convey that to a lot of my athletes. It's like, how much better do you feel when you set out with that goal and you fucking follow through? It's hard to follow through, people. It really is, because there is a million excuses and like no one's forcing you. No one has a gun to my head and it's like, you have to go walk or else, like, you know, it's like, no one's forcing me. I don't have to if I don't fucking want to. Like, right? Like, you know, 4th of July is coming up. This is actually going to be released on 4th of July. It's fucking America, freedom. We can do what we want or not do what we want, right? But you have that sense of pride, you have that sense of feel good and excitement when you do have that follow through. But getting to that follow through is fucking difficult. Like we said with bodybuilding, like another thing that's hard with it too is like hunger. And when you're not used, your first one, when you're not used to feeling that intense hunger, it's crippling for people. And that's a hard follow through because if you've never competed, or maybe this will be a good one for you too, because you haven't competed in a while. I mean, you dieted, but not obviously stage lean dieted, but it'll be interesting to see, I guess, for me is like, you might not because you already have been on stage, but when you're in that first prep and you're like, is this fucking worth it? Is this hunger pain worth it? And honestly, yeah. It is like, but like at first you don't know. And even as you start to like diet or push for a second show or push for a third show and things get a little bit harder, more difficult, the longer you diet, it's like, man, is this all worth it? But then come show day and you get on stage and you see your hard work and you're like, wow, it really, really was. But I think that that's a huge turnoff and that's a huge difficult point for people to follow through, even in dieting too, because a lot of people, since America is so obese right now and has been for the last several years, being
Several
hungry,
decades.
Look, I'm trying to be nice.
Well, don't.
Being hungry is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And like, let me tell you, hunger is a good thing. Like, you've been in off seasons. Like, I've been in off seasons where I've pushed a lot of food. And let me tell you, eating when you're not hungry, which apparently everybody fucking does, is uncomfortable. Like, I like that first part of dieting when you start to have like a little rumble in your tumbly and like you feel like those hunger cues, because sometimes when you're so deep in like an off season, you don't feel them. And like, I don't personally, I don't mind being hungry. It makes me feel like human at times.
Yeah, I think when kind of going back to like the idea of quitting, when people are in the thick and they're like, well, what would happen if I quit? They will think of all the things that maybe they feel like they're missing out on, or they view all of their restrictions, all of their can'ts, rather than the opportunity of following through on what they set out to accomplish. And so they think about, well, what would life look like if I quit, if I gave up, if I stopped? And they see this, almost like this mirage, this paradise that they have been missing out on since they quote unquote started bodybuilding. And they're like, wow, that looks a lot more comfortable. Let me do that instead. When you and I think about quitting, when we're in our little hissy fit tantrums, I don't know about you, all I see is the void. I see a white space. I see a black hole. I see nothing. I see nothing but emptiness if I were to quit. So therefore, for me, there is no plan B. There is no other option. If I quit, then what? Like, I can't even comprehend the then what, because for me, there is no then what. It is going to be hard. You have chosen a hard and difficult path, both as a bodybuilder and as a coach who coaches bodybuilders and Gen Pop. There is no plan B. There is no if I fail, there is only forward. And because I have chosen the forward path, it is going to be hard. There's both going to be good pain and unnecessary pain. But how much unnecessary pain I go through is up to me. It's up to me and my mindset and what I tell myself during those hard days, during those hard sets, even. So it's one of those things where you acknowledge that what you have chosen is going to be difficult and that time is painful, but you push through anyway because you understand that. When you're a bodybuilder and you're a competitive bodybuilder, it's so much more than stepping on a stage. It's so much more than a sparkly bikini. It is the ultimate, in my opinion, self-respect that you have assumed total ownership of checking off all your boxes and you have made it. You are on that stage or whatever your end goal is as bodybuilder, whether it's turning pro, going to the Olympia, whatever. It was because of your follow through. And if that's not fucking powerful enough for you, get a different sport. And that is okay, right? I'm not saying like, oh, you suck because you can't follow through with bodybuilding or whatever. It's if you can't go to that level when it comes to what you want out of the sport, like it probably would be best to find a new sport because you will be fulfilled elsewhere versus less restricted. Because a lot of the times people quit because of time, restriction, and the fact that their why they are competing, why they are wanting to compete is just surface level. It's not that ingrained, like soul catching on fire type of want.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think this highest form of self-love is self-discipline, and I'm pretty sure I've said that before, but that's I stand by that. I'm gonna wrap my fucking self out here.
Oh,
Last
what you do, bitch?
you know what I did, and I was fucking pissed about it. Last Tuesday, I almost just didn't check in, and I told Ash, and Ash fucking called me out and
Oh,
was
I
like,
thought you were gonna kill me. I thought I was like, I knew I felt your bitchness through the phone. And I was like, she's gonna end our relationship.
no, first of all, I was still in California. Our flight got delayed by like 4 hours. So we were already coming home at 5. Now we're gonna get home at 8. And I was like, oh my fucking, I was just pissed. I didn't sleep that whole vacation. It was just like a lot. And I was like, you know what? I am not checking in today. Like, I don't have the energy. I didn't take photos. I'm back and forth between the airport, trying to drop the rental car off, trying to get a fucking, I was gonna say toddler, but it's still a fetus.
Still a baby, yeah.
Packed up, fed, all of this fucking shit. And mind you, the washing machine that was in our Airbnb unit broke the day we got there and they couldn't fix it. So I didn't bring enough clothes for either of us because I thought we were going to wash it. And let me tell you, in downtown LA, it is not baby friendly. I went to multiple Targets, TJ Maxx's, Ross, and there was not a single fucking onesie. H&M. Yeah, they I mean, when you think about it though, like downtown Cleveland doesn't really have that either. Like, like a downtown city, like
I
that's
mean, I
not.
guess it would be respect. That just seems like a target.
Dude, I was pissed. They had
That's
done
dumb.
and wipes and shit. Anyways, besides the point. Shout out to my Max, and Ash was just like, she's like, I don't know what you want from me. You tell me you want to get serious about your goals and you're not following through, essentially, is what it came down to. And I was like, you're right. So what did I do? I sent my checking sheet over to my coach, still within the time limit. And I was like, look, I don't have any fucking pictures. I'm fucking sorry. This trip was wild, but I'm coming back today. Tomorrow, I'm back on track, like 100%. And that's kind of how it went through. And like, I was salty that, I made this decision of like not checking in, and I was like at peace with it because I was so pissed off. But like, Ash was right. It wasn't getting me to my goals. And like, yeah, I was salty that she called me out, but like, that's what I needed because one, I was so dysregulated and my emotions were so fucking high. And then the reality of it is like, okay, well, like, shit, like this is gonna happen all the time. I have this kid that I'm responsible for like the next 18 plus fucking years. And there's always gonna be something. And it's like, okay, well, if I stop checking in because that shit's hard, what's that gonna do for me? Nothing, right? And I mean, it was a really good check-in. It was like, hey, like, yeah, like I made the best of everything, and we made a plan for this week to, get back to tracking macros, seeing where I'm at, finding a new plan come tomorrow, or when you guys listen to this, it'll be Tuesday, so it'll be 2 days before. And trust me, I literally did not want to follow through, but I'm happy that I'm dead. I'm happy that I have someone in my corner that called me out. And I would have been upset because I've been bodybuilding since 2017 and I've never missed a check-in, regardless
And
of.
that is exactly why I said what I said. I did not like sending that text to you. I didn't, because I knew how it would make you feel, because I knew how it would make me feel. And I'd be jaded and I'd be pissed, not because it was wrong, but because it was right. But I know you. You have not missed a check-in ever. And I wasn't going to let you miss a check-in over something like this. Like, if it was a much like a, God, I'm knocking on wood, like I'm not wishing this on you, but if it was like a death in the family or something like much more like heart and soul wrenching, I probably would have let it go. But I was like, listen,
I didn't even miss
she,
a check-in after I had my child. I had him on a Friday and I checked in on Tuesday.
that's like me and my fucking boob surgery. Like, I have that photo of me with the towel after I like took a shower after my tit surgery. But like, that's the thing, is like, I know you wanted to follow through, even if it was going to be just a sheet. But still, it is, as a friend, like, it was also scary to send that, because I'm like, she is going to be upset with me, because mostly because she's upset with herself in the situation. But I also know that if I were in her shoes or in something similar, I would hope to God she would remind me and helped me to recenter, to refocus, and to reset, just so that way I could continue on being successful.
And that's what I needed. I mean, sometimes we need that. We have to do hard fucking things, people. It's not easy. And it's not like I ate like a shit bag on vacation. I probably weigh under 8, which I know I did because I came back 3 pounds lighter. And, I think part of it too, though, was like I forgot my blood glucose monitor and I never usually do. And I knew that was missing data and I hate that. But like, the reality of it was like I still needed to check in because that is still a part of my goal. It is still a part of my protocols. It still aligns with the things that I want to do. And I get upset when my own athletes miss check-ins and it's like, fuck, I wouldn't be any better. And like that's like a form of being a hypocrite. I'm just like, oh, I want you guys to check in, let alone I'm not doing it on the back end. Like that's not something that I feel good about. So thank you, Ash, for getting my head out of my ass. And I'm happy that I did check in. And like I said, it was a good one and it was fine. And it was like any other time. And it proved to me that like even when shit is fucking hard, that I should still be doing these things. And part of me too was like, I already know like what my coach is gonna say. Like I was on vacation all week, like just get back, get on your shit, end of story, right? So it's like, why do I even need this check-in? But like I needed that check-in because this is what I'm here for, regardless of being on vacation, regardless of already knowing what the outcome is be. I mean, how do I even know what the outcome is? Maybe he would have said something different. You know what I'm saying? Like I could have been completely wrong, So yeah, it's good. It's good to always check in because that's what is required of me to be successful and what I want to be successful in.
Exactly. Dude, I was so stressed out about our text thread on Tuesday. I like went home and Eric was like, "Oh, how was the gym?" I was like, "It was, you know, it was a hard session because, you know, yada yada yada." I also think Ash is pissed at me. And I
It
was like,
probably didn't help that like it was like the day that I was traveling and I just couldn't text anyone fucking back. So it was like
dude, exactly. I was like radio silence. I was like, I just ruined our friendship over for the fact that she didn't want to check in.
and then when I got home, like I just needed to like downregulate myself from being like attached to someone for 24 hours straight for 6 days. Because my boyfriend didn't come with me on this trip. So it was like me and my son, like just together the whole time.
Just kicking it.
Yeah, I couldn't talk to anybody. So I think it took me like 3 days. Actually, I don't even know if I texted you back. I think I just sent you money for a console and you
You
were
that's literally what happened. You
like,
literally just sent me money. So I heard my Venmo go ching, and then like I saw it was from you and I was like, okay.
typical me shit though, like can't get it together, but it's like, oh wait, I gotta pay Ash for this consult. Like, doesn't say hi, doesn't say hey,
Oh
sorry.
my God. I was like, okay, well, I guess we're good. Like, I mean,
Like so bad at that shit sometimes. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm like, whatever. But no, yeah, no, I wasn't. I mean, like, I was just like, I was upset because you were so truthfully honest and right. And like, I sometimes hate hearing what I need to hear.
oh, dude, same, right? Same. Yeah, but I was like stressed, mad stressed this entire week. I was like, I think Ash is mad at me.
My God, I'm not, no. I was like, I think I was more mad at myself and just like for even thinking that like I didn't need to check in or like I was like again, like letting myself down with like out having that self-discipline, that self-respect. I wasn't loving myself, you know. So it was just good to have a reminder that, you know, sometimes we just need a little kick in the ass.
That's right. That's right. If it makes you feel any better, I got bit by a single fire ant and had like a mini reaction on my ankle, so I got like my just desserts.
Wait, are you allergic to them? Did you tell me
I
that?
am allergic to a lot of stinging, biting insects. Like, I mean, like obviously if I get stung by a mosquito, I don't need to go to the emergency room, but like fire ants down here are still pretty fucking aggressive and like I treat my yard like every 6 months like you're supposed to, but like there was still one just fucking off in my yard and it found its way onto my shoe, bit my ankle, and then fucked off.
Oh my God. Of
And
course it
like, I don't know if you've ever been stung by a fire ant. I assume you probably have because you used to live in Florida, but it's like when you get a fire ant sting versus like a mosquito bite, like it feels good when you scratch a mosquito bite, right? It's kind of like, oh, thank God, right? It's like a mini orgasm. No, a fire ant bite, when you scratch it, it's like a good pain. It's like this hurts so bad, but also feels so good. And I
yeah.
literally woke myself up last night scratching my ant bite with my other fucking foot. Like that woke me up because it felt good, but I was also in pain. I was like, what the fuck is happening under the sheets? Yeah, my body was giving me itches like an asshole.
Dude, and that's what it's about, that good pain. That should be the top the title of the thing, the good pain, the happy
Good
pain.
pain, good with the bad. Yeah, swag. Shout out to Fitness Husband for that one. But
Yeah.
any closing or final thoughts?
Just know, people, that the shit's hard, but you're harder. That's what I want to say. We're tougher, harder.
We're
Shit's
harder.
hard, harder. The
You hear that,
shit's hard.
guys? You guys are like the fucking little blue pill. You guys are fucking Cialis.
Little Viagras.
All right, guys. Until the meantime, peace.
Adios.